Mums with Hustle podcast, episode 268.
Welcome to the Mums with Hustle podcast, where you'll discover everyday mum entrepreneurs killing it in their industry. Learn the secrets you can replicate to create your own success with your host, Tracy Harris.
Well, hello there, lovely lady. If you have ever cringed at the thought of putting your face behind your brand, or if you've ever been nervous to speak on video to your audience, or possibly jump on and do an Instagram story and even post a picture of yourself and post it on your business socials, then this episode is for you. The truth is, consumers are becoming more savvy when deciding who to support with their business. Who are they going to give their hard-earned dollars to? People want to know who is behind the brand, especially when it comes to online shopping. And hello, online shopping has really boomed over the past year. You know, COVID and all the things. More and more people are just open and receptive to the idea of going online to buy gifts or everyday goods, shopping for services and things like that. Seeing you when they go on over to your Instagram account, however they've heard about you, that increases the trust in your brand and within the products and the services that you provide. And when that trust is there, it also speeds up the decision-making process for your potential client or customer. So it is super duper important that we get really comfortable showing up and humanizing our brands, not just in 2021, but beyond. This is not just like a trend for now. It is something that we need to be doing in our marketing moving forward. So I want you to listen to this episode today if you really want to learn how to grow your product-based business using Instagram, if you want to know how to work through that fear of visibility and embrace vulnerability in your marketing, and also if you want to learn why it really is important for your own confidence and your own resilience that you surround yourself with other supportive business women. So my guest today that I've invited to join me on this podcast episode is the lovely Peter Borg. Peter is a mum to three children, and she's also the accounts manager for their family-owned and operated food distribution business, which she runs alongside her husband, Jamie. Now, how cool is this? The couple are actually celebrating 20 years of owning this business, PJ's Food Distributors. So that is amazing. But in addition to helping Jamie grow that business as the accounts manager, Peter also has a creative background as a high school art teacher and a passion for all things handcrafted. Her love for supporting the makers out there, shout out to all the makers that listen to this podcast, was really enhanced by the foundation of an artisan market, the Argyle Affair, which Peter founded alongside her business partner, Brooke. Now that market, that pop-up market, really provided a platform for local makers to showcase their products to a wider community. And from this, the idea to gift local and small batch products was born. And thus, Local and Co. Hampers was created. Now, the business, Local and Co. Hampers, has just gone into their fourth year of trading, and it really has grown from strength to strength. And along the way, it has built wonderful relationships with clients and with makers alike. And you guessed it, their main marketing platform and also sales platform is Instagram. So it is an absolute privilege and a pleasure to be introducing you to one half of the Local and Co. Hampers team, Peter Borg. Now, just before I introduce you to her, I just want to make mention that in this episode, Peter refers to an Instagram planner that I provide. Now, that is provided to my members inside of the Social Method Society. So if you're new here, hello, welcome to the podcast. If you are serious about growing your business with Instagram in 2021 and beyond, head on over to socialmethodsociety.com. That is my membership, where I help women grow their businesses through Instagram marketing. And every month, one of the things that they get to help them with that process so that it's easier and faster is an Instagram content calendar, or a planner, if you will. So if you want to get your hands on that month in and month out, plus all of the support, the coaching, the community, you will want to check out the Social Methods Society and get in when I open the doors very, very soon. So go to socialmethodsociety.com. But now let's dive in and chat to Peter. Okay, so how cool is this? Welcome to the Mums with Hustle podcast, Peter. How are you going?
I'm great. Thanks for having me, Tracy.
Oh, it's like a massive pleasure. You've got quite the startup story and an incredible business, which I'd love for you to share a little bit about. But before you dive into that, can you just tell us a little bit about yourself and your family?
Okay, well, I am a mum of three, and we also have, well, I have a lovely husband, and we also have another family business that we've had. It's in its 20th year this year, so a huge milestone. And, you know, sometimes I feel like a bit of a jack of all trades, lots of balls up in the air juggling. So, yeah, it's a little bit sort of different to a lot of different businesses, but we have a food distribution business, so a little bit left of field to what I'm normally doing, which is, my background is a high school art teacher, so a very creative background. So I now do accounts for our business, which I have done for the last 20 years. And so very different, sometimes a little bit soul-destroying, because I'm doing accounts rather than following a true passion of being a little bit more creative. So that's pretty much what I do at the moment. So we've got, well, I should take it back a little bit. So after starting up a local market called the Argyle Affair in Camden, my partner and I, Brooke, realised that there was an opportunity to showcase the wonderful creative products that we have in our community and also the small businesses in our community. So we decided to combine all of those things and put them into some lovely bespoke hampers that we could then, you know, platform and sell across our country. So it sort of became a passion to support local, be seen in the community. So we also have done a lot of work with charities in the past. But yeah, it's all about being, I suppose, very authentic and true to what we believe is really important. And that is, you know, the local community and the people that are here. And we're very lucky to live in such a nurturing area where lots of very creative people live and produce wonderful products. So we're very, very fortunate.
Well, you and your lovely business partner at Local & Co, Brooke, you really are incredible, community-minded, kind, very intelligent women. And like, for anyone that doesn't know, Peter and I live in the same town. So it has been incredible to be able to see these two ladies serve the community and raise the profile of so many business owners, handmade businesses in particular as well, and really champion them and give them this platform through their business at Local & Co and also the Argyle Affair to get their name out there and get their wares in the hands of their ideal customers as well. So I just wanted to point that out. At the heart of everything that you do, I feel like you really hold that value of community and also paying it forward, because you do so much for some incredible organizations around the local area as well. So just congratulations on everything that you're both doing over there in your business. Before we go any further, I just had to say that.
Thank you. We're very proud of what we've done over the years. So we've probably raised over $50,000 for local charities and really worthwhile causes. So in a sense, it's sort of led us to becoming part of the community by being involved in the sort of the giving side. So not only are we providing a really lovely, you know, gift, it's all about the people that we're giving it to, and it's very heartfelt. We often become very engulfed in the story behind why the hamper is being given, either by the recipient or the receiver. And you know, that's just who we are. We're very, very people orientated, you know, business owners, pretty much. That's the basis of what we do. So
100%. And something else that I'd love to touch on just briefly is what you mentioned there about, you know, hitting that 20-year milestone in the family business, which is absolutely incredible. So that's a business that you run with your husband, and your role in that business is to be the account manager. But you said something there that made my ears prick up, which is being the account manager isn't always super riveting and exciting, because you do kind of identify as more of a creative soul, or your brain is just like wired to be more creative. So, you know, and this comes up a lot inside of our mastermind. We're actually having a lot of conversations around the subject of working within your zone of competence, and sometimes within your zone of even excellence. And I have no doubt, Peter, that you are more than competent. You're probably excellent at being the account manager for that business. Otherwise, you wouldn't have done it for so long. Versus how it feels to actually work in your zone of genius. And so for you, would you say that it's, you know, you're more lit up by the work or the role that you have with Local & Co?
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. Definitely. 100%. I mean, you know, when we started our business, well, my husband left his job and we bought a business. And so I was on maternity leave and he just left a really good paying job with security. And it was just a period full of doubt. So there was about 3 months between purchasing the business and actually running the business on our own. So for those 3 months, we were just living on my maternity leave. And that was really difficult. And as you know, bringing up small kids and having financial security is huge, and something that took a, you know, quite a transition. And for my, having my first child and having to deal with that was very daunting. So there was a lot of unpredictability, a lot of firsts for many things. So, you know, long hours worked by my husband. So it was a lot of the time I felt like, you know, a single mother bringing up my daughter, which in no way a reflection of Jamie being supportive. It's just the fact that he wanted to be similar, like the face of his business. So he had to show up and be available to his clients and customers. So that meant doing long hours. And that was, yeah, it was a big learning curve for us. You know, as time moved on and we had our second child, you know, that was a little bit of an easier transition because we were living with my mum and dad. We were building a house. So I had some babysitters there and people to support me through that. But I think the week I got home from hospital, I was, you know, breastfeeding and doing accounts at the computer. So there was no actual maternity leave when it came to that time. And I'd taken extended maternity leave from teaching so that we could, you know, do the transition with moving. And yeah, so it's always been something that I, as, you know, a partner, I feel that that's been my obligation to do, even though it's not been, you know, a highlight to my life. Yes, and it doesn't light me up like the hampers do in being creative. So, but it's what you have to do, and it's what, it's Jamie's passion, and he's very good at that. And it's supporting him as well as juggling what I like to do as well as what I have to do for that business. So I'm not, you can ask him, I've handed in my resignation quite a few times and it's been rejected. So it's not always easy. There's sometimes it's very hard to distinguish, and this goes across all platforms, distinguish when you're working from home, which we do. It's hard to separate work and business life and personal space as well. So it all becomes intertwined. So sometimes I am doing accounts at midnight or, you know, 2 and 3 in the morning when I've had a massive workload on. So that sort of happened over Christmas when the hampers were just out of control, but
literally flying out the door.
That's right. Yeah. So it's, yeah, it is a juggling act. I know where my true passions lie, and Jamie knows that as well. So he sometimes turns a blind eye to what I don't do, and my to-do list is sometimes a lot longer than my to-do list for Local & Co. Hampers. So
yes.
It's always easier. It's like, you know, will I do that housework or will I sit there and work on something that I really enjoy? I don't know too many people that like doing the housework aspect, but it's sort of feeding your passion and feeding what you love to do. And yeah, it's a fine line sometimes, but you just, it's a balancing act. So I think 20 years down the track, I think we've both learnt a lot and but also achieved a lot. Business for us is better than ever on both platforms. So, but it's come with sacrifices as like any job, but you know, we're learning to sort of make a better life balance at the moment for both of those. So yeah, we're making it work.
Well, congratulations to you both, to the whole family on having that business grow and flourish over 20 years. And, you know, the beautiful babies that you've welcomed into your family along the way, like it is a challenge and your eldest has even finished school. So like, it's an exciting time for you, Peter, to be, you know, stepping in and doing what lights you up with your beautiful business. So with that being said, I invited you on the podcast and I said, hey, would you come on the podcast? Because I'd love to have this conversation with you around overcoming your fear of visibility on Instagram. And when I say that, I'm referring to humanizing your brand by actually showing people that, hey, this is not a faceless business. This is a small business and it's run by myself and my business partner, and just building that relationship with your audience. And I know for you, and I hope you don't mind me sharing, but I know for you, there was some discomfort, some uncomfy feels and some fears, particularly when you were first hopping on Instagram to market Local & Co., your beautiful hamper business. But I've really seen you work through that. I don't know if you still get the uncomfy feels. Maybe you do. You can talk to that, but it certainly doesn't show. You're showing up all the time in a really natural and authentic way. And as a result, your business is, well, booming to say the least. So thank you for being willing to share really openly about what that journey has been like. But I guess we'll start. How long have you actually been in business for Local & Co.? When did you jump on Instagram to start marketing?
Oh, okay. So there's a bit of a blurry area between doing our markets and finding all of these products and then actually launching. So, you know, in a sense, I think it was towards the end of 2017 that we really started posting and initiated that sort of relationship on social media. It was very much what's coming, you know, that air of suspense, look what's new, what's happening here. So just creating that vibe of something new and exciting coming around. And we were very lucky that we had already had a huge audience with Argyle Affair. And occasionally we'd show up with Argyle Affair on our Instagram account there. It was more so showcasing the makers and what they do in the local area, but that then fed into a following for Local & Co. So we've been also very mindful about not using Argyle Affair as a platform just to for us to get gratification and to get clients for Local & Co. It needs to be an authentic transition. So occasionally we would, you know, put our products on Argyle Affair page, but as a client, as a customer, as we would normally do with all of our vendors. So we sort of generated a following from that. But in saying that as well, for us, it was just tapping into the local market. So that was our initial audience. But yeah, it was very daunting at first to jump on there. And yeah, it's that fine line between, you know, being really vulnerable, because it was really interesting this morning. I was at a women's breakfast meeting and it was, they were talking about leadership and vulnerability and about how your vulnerability is seen as a weakness in a lot of different business areas. So we sort of restrained from showing up because that vulnerability, we didn't want that to be perceived as weakness and not as being an authentic, genuine business. So we sort of did refrain a little while from, you know, going face to face. And gee whiz, we did so many takes on videos. And if it was, well, to be honest, I'm probably a little bit more comfortable with jumping online and being on stories and reels. But I think that syndrome of doubting yourself and sort of going, oh, that sounded awful. And you listen to yourself back or watch yourself back and it's just cringeworthy. And you go, oh, no, I can't post that. And then I think we got to a stage where we were just like, you know what? If people like what we do and, you know, we're building that relationship with them because, you know, as you know, following along in the Social Methods Society and using, you know, the different strategies that you've provided us with as well and implementing them, you know, we know that people buy from people and you have to have that real authentic connection and build up that relationship of trust and authenticity. And those customers have stayed with us. They're our constant clients. So it's really important, I think, to show them that. And yeah, sometimes there are still those cringeworthy moments, but I think that far outweighs the the non-cringy worthy moments.
Yeah, totally. So I was chatting to a really beautiful business owner just, I think it was last week, and she's quite new to business and she comes from a very corporate background. And so for her, she was really, when it came to visibility, she was really dreading, I guess it is that vulnerability thing that you just shared, Peter. She was dreading coming across as not intelligent enough if she dropped that professional language. She said, you know, she would even write emails to her family that were very much like, I know, quite formal with how the emails were even written and structured, because she was like, I just can't shake that corporate way of communicating. So for her, jumping on Instagram was really asking a lot in terms of vulnerability. She would fear, you know, what are people thinking of me if I don't speak in a really professional or polished way? What if I make a mistake? Do I have to just delete that whole set of stories? Like, oh my gosh, it's going to take me forever. So are these some of the things that you're kind of referring to when you say showing up on Instagram as the face of your brand requires vulnerability? Are they some of the things that you found challenging?
Oh, absolutely. But I do realize now that that's what we need to do. That's part of the process of building up that relationship with your customers. And it is, it's very daunting. And, you know, still now I will throw out a whole series of stories because I just think that they're terrible, or, you know, or life gets in the way. There's a bird squawking in my ear, or one of the kids walks in and I'm like, oh, I can't post that because it's not business-like. It doesn't sort of scream professionalism, definitely. So I absolutely wholeheartedly agree with that. But then again, when I look at some businesses online and, you know, specifically on Instagram, and I see some of the stories that they put up, it's very sterile. They're not showing the true face of the brand. And it's sort of, for me, it's an element of disconnection. I just scroll past, you know. So I like people engage. They love that relationship. You know, people buy from people. People are just, you know, naturally, they want to see, they're curious to see what's going on behind the scenes and to find out who they're buying from. So I'm exactly the same. So that's why I think it's important for us to do the same sorts of things as, you know, as clients and customers ourselves. That's what we look at on Instagram and Facebook.
Yeah, totally. I think consumers are becoming way more savvy, especially with online shopping and this whole movement to support small business. People do really want to know who it is that they're buying from. Like, who are they giving their hard-earned dollars to? It's starting to matter way more to the average consumer, which I think is a really beautiful thing. And when we show up on Instagram with authenticity and that vulnerability, maybe we sneeze in our Instagram story. Like, share that. That is part of humanizing your brand. But it does come with practice, I guess. We don't all feel super confident when we're doing it. But confidence, I've said it a million times, it's just a muscle. So the more you do something, the more confident you get with it. So if someone is listening to this and they're feeling all sorts of uncomfortable vibes about showing their face, whether it's in a post or on an Instagram story or a live, just start out small and know that it does get easier over time and your audience genuinely does want to connect with the person behind the brand, because that is so important for the consumer. And just one more thing before we move on. It has helped me so much from the very beginning to think of Instagram as a village, because it's a very unique platform in the sense that if you focus more on building a connection with people and more on building a community rather than just a following, that shapes how you show up on the platform so much. It's a completely different perspective, yeah, and approach, and the content you create is different. You'll hear back from people often more when you treat the platform like that. So yeah, focus on connection and community more than you focus on just growing a following. I've seen you, both of you ladies, really do that. And it shines through everything that you're doing and putting out there on Instagram.
I'm probably a little bit more comfortable with being on stories and on Instagram than Brooke, but she is getting more confident and she's jumping on a little bit more often these days. So that's really nice. And we get lots of DMs from people when she jumps on there. And so nice to see your face, Brooke. So that's lovely too. And a great confidence booster, you know, for her to think that, you know, that's great. And people want to see us both on there. So
yeah, 100%. Well, I think the statistic is that 1 in 5 Instagram stories will receive a direct message response. And so that's huge for building community. So yeah, I just want to see more people embracing the stories. But have you ever come, so we've kind of spoken about personal resistance, which is that vulnerability and, oh my gosh, is what I have to share interesting? What if I make a mistake? All of that. Now, what about facing resistance from people in your everyday life? Have you ever encountered someone just kind of maybe rolling their eyes or thinking, oh my gosh, here she goes to do another Instagram story? Like, have you ever encountered any, I don't know, less supportive behaviors from anybody?
Look, I'm sure that I have, but I'm very lucky that I haven't actually been informed of that in person. But sometimes too, that it might just be me too, thinking, you know, there's always the haters, there's always the critics, and the fact that I haven't heard from them and I don't know what they're saying makes it a whole lot easier to just, you know, not listen to maybe some of the noise that is there. So not being aware of it is a great thing. But I do feel for people who are in that position and they do actually get confronted with that criticism, because it would be really hard to then pick yourself up after that and then show your face on, you know, your socials or on your stories. And for me, that would be such a confidence destroyer to then go back and do that again. So yeah, as I said, I'm lucky that I haven't. I'm sure that they're out there, but I'm just got a lovely network of women around myself and Brooke as well that are very supportive about what we do, you know, and they're the people that matter and they're the people that are always going to be cheering for you. And, you know, they're the ones that direct message you with the claps and the hearts. And, you know, we see all of that. So that's great. And we love knowing that people are enjoying that. So to not know that people aren't enjoying that is fine with me. But yeah, I'm sure they're there, but I'm like, la, 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 don't need to know either. So yeah, that's pleasant. But yeah, I do feel for people who have been confronted with that. Family are supportive. So, but yeah, the kids might have a little joke with me. Oh, she's doing another story. You know? But I know, that's my kids and I can just tell them to be quiet.
Yeah. But your kids are high school age. And then, like I said, your eldest has just graduated. So surely they think you're cool to be using Instagram. Please tell me that. I'm really just hoping that my kids will think I'm cool in the future.
I'd like to think so. I think that they think sometimes that I think I'm more cooler as a mum than they think that I am. But I'll often remind them, like, I could be completely different and I don't mind having a laugh and a joke at myself about something silly that I've done, and especially when it comes to business and showing up, and often have a laugh with them about it. But yeah, no, they're really supportive and yeah, they support. Or sometimes they'll have the little joke with me, but more so than not, they're always there, you know, you know, they'll respond to something or like something of ours. So that's really lovely as well.
Oh, that is so nice to hear, because unfortunately I do hear from a lot of business owners that don't have, you know, the most supportive or understanding circle of friends or even family, sometimes spouses, when they do go to create content, whether they're, you know, batch creating photos. And so maybe they've got to set up the self timer and the tripod and take a bunch of pictures of themselves. Or, you know, maybe they are going to whip out Instagram stories and, you know, record some content for their community on Instagram. And then, unfortunately, sometimes there can be some snide comments made, and that can be really hurtful. And you're right, like, I can't even imagine how hard that would be, how resilient you'd have to be to kind of bounce back from that and then go forth and post, you know, that image and that caption anyway, or press share on that Instagram story. So you said something really, really valuable, Peter. You said it helps you to hang around other supportive women, and it's the same for me. Like, it is a choice that I make every day to surround myself with people that normalize success and courage and that vulnerability, like hanging out with people that are also, you know, being vulnerable too and celebrating when I'm vulnerable and just kind of normalizing and championing that. It's just so, so important. Otherwise, you can very much find yourself not necessarily surrounded, but focusing on the negative comment, even though it may only pop up every now and then. It's much easier to ignore it when you're surrounding yourself with like a fortress of other really empowered women. So yeah, I'm so glad that you have that village of support around you. So you are showing up on Instagram in all of its glory. I think you've done IGTVs. I think you've done lives. I think you've done Instagram stories like pretty much daily. You do the posts, you've done reels. I'm wondering, what is your favorite form of content to create on Instagram?
Oh, I think I do like the interaction on stories, but I'd like to do more reels. Unfortunately, we're one of those businesses that didn't sort of get rolled out with music and things like that. So to me, I was just all a bit too complex, a bit too hard. You know, I'll get to that when I get it. But lately, we've been rewarded with music. So it's something that we've now done, and we plan on using that a lot more in the future because it's so engaging. I'm like one of those people that just sits there looking at the reels and just scrolling through, and it's just because they're short.
Yeah.
They're really, some of them are very interesting and very clever, very witty. And that to me is, it's fun, and that's what it's got to be about. It's got to be fun as well as being informative. So I plan on doing many more reels, but to more so we use stories. We do an Instagram post pretty much daily, and we have a system of doing that. So we try to, as much as possible, use the resources in the Social Methods Society, so the Instagram planner. And along with that, obviously, we sort of change it or adapt it to what's coming up for us. So it will be different milestones. So quite recently, Christmas, Valentine's, Mother's Day, all of those different gift-giving opportunities. So we'll often, you know, just look at something and go, yeah, that might be appropriate, or we will do something different that day. And Brooke and I tend to take turns in doing posts. And you know, even the fact that we use different hashtags, it's a different set of eyes on things, different perspective at looking at things. So sometimes having a business partner and that diversity does, you know, tend to allow you to reach a wider audience than just one set of eyes always yes. looking at the same thing.
Two brains. Two yeah. heads are better than yeah. one.
But then, you know, in terms of that, there's probably a lot more of our, you know, personal life that we could bring to our brand, but we're also mindful that there's two of us and that we both have different lives. So, but yeah, I think for us, it's, yeah, our posts on Instagram and our stories. And sometimes we don't tell each other that we're doing stories. We'll just jump on at the spur of the moment. Or if we're together, we tend to meet once a week to actually go through a list of things that are priorities for us in the business. So that's really important. And we'll use that opportunity to then do a post, be something, just an image. But it's always about our life and what we're doing in the business and in sort of, I suppose, to some extent, creating that, you know, intrigue. Oh, what are they doing now? What's coming up? What's next? So it's always prompting a little bit of an, you know, an inquiring mind into what we're doing. So yeah, but stories would be my favorite.
Stories? I thought you said reels.
No, I'm going to do more reels. Oh, okay. I love reels, but we haven't actually done a lot of them. So because of that music not being in there, but we're going to do more of that in the future. So watch out.
Well, see what I mean, ladies and gents that listen to this podcast? Peter is just, and Brooke, are just all over the whole Instagram app. And that's what Instagram loves. They love us to be holistic users of the app. And instead of shying away from new features when they do pop up and thinking of them as, oh, just another thing to learn, what if you chose to just embrace those things as an early adopter and see them as more creative ways to connect with your audience? Because that's what Reels is. It is so fun to watch and they are really fun to make, particularly if you have that creative mind, because there's so many cool things that you can do with Reels that are just far more interesting than a traditional post. But I love what you shared there about Instagram stories for both you and Brooke, sometimes just being spur of the moment or rather intuitive, like, oh, I've got something I want to share, so I'm just going to hop on and share it. And that is so freeing to be able to be like that versus, you know, wanting to share something and then stopping and second guessing and then just not hopping on. And then the moment's gone and you didn't rock up on your stories. So I'm all for obviously planning. And that's why in the SMS, in the Social Method Society, I give my members an Instagram plan. It's more of like a growth calendar full of prompts for every single day. But there's still that room for that flow and intuition when you've got something to say to hop on and do a set of stories. That is, yeah, I think stories would be my favorite still to this day. So yeah, I agree. Stories for the win.
Yep. And we all love a nice filter, don't we? That
smooths out the
lines and puts a little twinkle in your eye and all of that.
Yes, we do. Nothing wrong with a filter from time to time. Well, I just want to thank you so much for jumping on and sharing a little bit more about yourself and also your beautiful business partner. Shout out to Brooke and the progress that you ladies have been able to make as a result of, you know, of marketing yourselves authentically and wholeheartedly on Instagram. Before we go, what would you say was your biggest win in your business for the past 12 months?
It sounds really awful, but our biggest win was COVID. So it actually, because we already had such a large online presence, COVID forced people to search high and low online, and we generated such a great reach with our audience, and that then led into Christmas, and it was the busiest Christmas ever in terms of being in business for the past 4 years. So we're very, very lucky that we already had that established, because if we were a bricks and mortar business, it would have been much harder to generate that if we weren't already on Instagram and on social media to create that following from scratch. So that to us was the biggest win. And also we did lots of happy dances at Christmas time when we were saying to ourselves, be careful what you wish for. And a lot of those things that we wished for last Christmas then came true for us this Christmas. So there were quite a few pinching ourselves moments when we would just be dealing with a huge client. And one of our clients at Christmas time was across Australia. So we were sending out over 300 hampers for a nationwide business. So we were just absolutely thrilled, and also absolutely thrilled for the suppliers. So we were delighted to say to them, we need 300 of your products. So then they were doing PDFs and, you know, yeah, that ripple effect. So we were so happy, you know, just happy that we could then give them that business. And that's a really lovely thing to do, to provide them with an income for their family. And that's pretty much what it comes down to. So yeah, COVID and Christmas were huge for us in the last 12 months. So yeah, we've been very, very lucky, very fortunate, and worked with some amazing people along the way. So yeah, they were all fabulous moments in the last 12 months.
Well, I'm just absolutely thrilled to hear a COVID success story, because you're right, more people just suddenly were open to the idea of shopping online because we kind of had to. And, you know, in their searches to come across a business like Local & Co. and to see that social proof behind it, you know, like, this is a legitimate business. Look how many followers they have. Look how they're building this community here on this page. Oh, that's the business owner. She looks like a nice lady. Oh, what are the products? Like, they literally have a place to come, and it fast tracks their decision making from just, you know, being a follower to being ready to buy and becoming a customer, because you've got that social proof and that presence there. And yeah, I'm just so happy for you. And it's not an overnight success story. Like, this business has been going for a few years now, and through lots of bravery and vulnerability and you girls learning new skills, like, you know, all these Instagram strategies and then putting yourselves out there, I'm just so thrilled that you were able to reap the benefits of that during this very challenging time with COVID. So congratulations. And I just can't wait to see what else you ladies do in the future, because you're very smart and super savvy. Do you just want to tell everybody where they can actually go to check out your business? Because they may be people that want to shop, Peter. They might be business owners themselves that want to have some corporate or custom hampers to gift to their own clients and customers. Or maybe they are a small handmade business and they'd love to even potentially see what the process is like to get their wares into a Local & Co. hamper.
Absolutely. We love to hear from everybody. So you can find us obviously on Instagram. So we are Local & Co. Hampers on Instagram. We are on Facebook as the same. And we also have our website, so localandco.com.au. And we also have there's a Google page, and there's also a LinkedIn connection there as well. So because we deal with a lot of corporate people, they're on LinkedIn, so we have a presence there as well. But yeah, most of our sales come from social media, so as in Instagram. So we're connected through a lot of different channels, but mostly Instagram is where you can chat to us the most. And yeah, we can work out what you need, or we can take a look at your products.
Oh, amazing. Do head on over and give Local & Co. a follow, or at the very least, just observe how beautifully authentic the ladies are turning up in their stories. And, you know, a lot of people sometimes feel like when you have a physical product, or if you have if you're an e-commerce store or a handmade product-based business, then it's hard to show up on Instagram without always self-promoting or flogging your product. But the ladies do this so well because they are focused on building that connection and that community more than anything else. That's at the heart of it. So go and check it out if you want to see a living example of that at Local & Co. Hampers. All the best to you, Peter, and thank you so much for joining me on the podcast.
Oh, thank you for having me, Tracy. It's been an absolute pleasure to chat to you today.
Thank you so much, Peter, and also congratulations to you and Brooke on the continued success of your beautiful business, Local & Co. Hampers, even despite COVID. And I mean what I said in that interview. It came that this growth and this success, this abundance that you've been able to bring into your business as a result of the hard work, the learning of new skills, the putting yourself out there, the vulnerability of showing your faces, and it all just pays off. And I'm absolutely thrilled and stoked for you and everything else that lies ahead in the future of your beautiful business. So thank you once again for joining me here. If you love this episode, ladies, please head on over and leave me a 5-star review on iTunes. It's super simple. I'll pop the details for how to do that below. But also make sure you go to socialmethodsociety.com if you are a mum wanting to grow her business using Instagram. Then this is the place for you, and we'd love to welcome you to our growing and absolutely thriving community. I will see you here next week on the podcast. Bye.